few places I want you to look tonight in your Bible leading to our text. It's good to see you here this evening. Always good to be together all day Sunday, Sunday evenings. Very special, something very special for you from the Bible. Let's start out in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. And in this passage, we'll just look at this one verse, and then we're going to move right on to Philippians chapter 2. And still, we will not have arrived at our verse, but we'll be moving in the right direction. Proverbs 15:33. Now, notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and watch it. Before honor is what? Humility. Humility. Humility can be a real challenge because it's something that you need to do yourself. You know, I've heard people pray, and you can pray, Lord, humble me. You probably really don't want to pray that because He will and He can do that, and it's a very difficult thing. You're better off to humble yourself rather than to have the Lord do it for you. But He will if you need Him to. Now turn to Philippians chapter 2 in the New Testament, and we'll look at this, this word again. We'll see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse 5. Philippians 2:5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man," look at it, "he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And then you know the rest of it. "God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father." But notice, before honor is humility, just like Proverbs said. You're not going to have one without the other. It'll be certainly a false honor, or a temporary honor, an honor bestowed by men, and that's not honor. You know, men are fickle. They'll give you honor if it's to their advantage, and as soon as it's no longer to their advantage, cut your feet right out from under you and put somebody else in your place like you never existed. That's vain to chase that kind of thing. You know, some of you are smiling, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now turn to our text in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, close to the end of the Bible. We'll actually have our text here. We'll be a few more verses than the one we're going to read, but we'll read this one, verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. They all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with," what's that word? "Humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." You want to get in on God's good side, then you need to become humble and get away from pride, because God will resist you when you're proud. He'll give grace to the humble. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to pray. We're reminded again to pray for Ryan Gunther, Heartland, Michigan, at the Victory Baptist Church, having the Bible conference. Father, we do pray that you will honor yourself very much in their presence. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the church will be strongly edified and strengthened their conviction to stand with the book. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that the speakers will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that the church will be very, very edified, very encouraged by what they hear. We even pray during a Bible conference, Father, that lost people will come and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, again, we pray for the Rubio and Barrera families. We pray for Aunt Lillian, Stephanie's aunt, that family, that you'll comfort all of them having suffered the deceased of loved ones today or yesterday. Lord, we really do pray that you will give them that comfort and they'll know that it comes from you. We pray that God will be honored and glorified in the funeral services. Souls will be saved through the preaching of the Word of God. Now today, Father, we're on a subject that can be difficult to communicate because immediately when we hear it, we think, well, this isn't for us. We're already humble. But Father, you truly know our hearts, and oftentimes because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, we think we're humble, and really we're not. And Father, we need tonight to have an examination by your Spirit to see these things and make application where you'd have us to make application, Father, and truly follow the admonitions of the Word of God. I'm not, Father, the man that ought to be preaching this except for the fact that you've called me to. And I pray, Father, that in the best way you know how and in the way that is only possible, I'd be out of the way. I bring myself before you today and humble myself before you that you may be exalted. And, Father, that people will remember something that you said to them through the Scripture and through the sound of my voice and not from me. And I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, in this text, obviously, what we're studying tonight is humility, and there are a number of verses on being humble. And we're reminded of the Pharisee who prayed, and he was not humble before the Lord. He exalted himself. We're reminded of the publican who wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful unto you, a sinner. And he got that mercy from God because he came humbly before the Lord. And humility is a great thing, and oftentimes what happens with us is because we're saved and we've become familiar with the things of the Lord, we know about the hymns, we know some of the words of the hymns that we're singing, we know about these words here, we've been reading them, we've heard them studied, we know there are other people who are not saved or not following the words of God. We have a tendency, mistakenly, to get a little bit lifted up in pride about where we are spiritually versus where we were before, or where we are spiritually versus where somebody else is. How many times have we been in a conference that might be more than just a Sunday and we've got a conference speaker in and he starts to preach and something comes to mind and say, boy, I sure wish oh so and so was here. He sure needs that. All right, well, those elements are a lot of times an indication of pride because we think, well, this isn't so much for us, this is for the other guy, and we miss what's for us. Well, according to our text, we find here some great benefits to humility. And we're going to discuss those from verse 5 down to about verse 9 in 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at just four things about what's so great concerning humility and hopefully be encouraged to remain humble before the Lord. First of all, humility is the greatest way for Christians to get along with each other. Humility is the greatest way for Christians to get along with each other. Notice what he says in verse 5 again, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That should go without saying. You know, in the generation in which many of us were raised, we were raised to respect our elders. And my father taught me, and it's in the Bible, actually. I don't think he knew it was in the Bible when he taught me, but he taught me that when an older gentleman walks in the room, you stand up. If a lady walks in the room, you always stand up, but you offer her your seat if your seat is better than the one that's available to her, or certainly if she doesn't have one. Now, a lot of that's changed today and you know, women, the now thing, and the ERA and all that kind of thing. I'll get my own door and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm sorry to see that day. I like chivalry. I think it's appropriate. And so younger should have respect for the elder. I like what some of you have done. Now, we've got the Sunday school teachers and that kind of thing. You know, you say, well, you call Brother Welder pastor, particularly when you're here at the church, and there's a reason for that so the young ones can learn to have respect for the office. That's an appropriate thing. And learn to have respect for those that are older than they are. The Bible says, rise up before the hoary head. That's what this is becoming. Some of you, your hair left before it got hoary. But we know that if you still had some, it would be. It would be gray. So that's an obvious thing. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's something that we should all do. But notice what he goes on to say, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. It's appropriate for us to always take a back seat to somebody else and say, I'm going to prefer you above myself. I'm here to serve. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, if anybody deserved honor while he was on this earth, it was Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But you know something? Before he went to the cross, he also demonstrated humility. You'll remember after supper, he stripped himself and girded himself with a towel and washed his disciples' stinky feet, dirty feet, because they had been out in the ministry wearing sandals, their feet had gotten dirty, and he said, you know what I'm doing right now? You're not going to understand it. You'll get it later. You're not going to understand it right now. And then he made application. He said, the servant is not greater than his master. If you've seen me do it, then you do it. Now, it doesn't become a doctrine of the church where we have foot washing, although that's become the doctrine of some churches. But the idea is there. And that is that I should serve. He said, if you want to be chief among my people, be a servant. If you want to be the great one, be the minister. And so that's to humble yourself before anybody and say, what is it that I can do for you? It's the greatest way for Christians to get along with each other. People just don't do well with somebody that is trying to stake their ground in pride. There are so many applications, but I'm reminded again of something I told you. I don't remember how long ago it was, but Darrell Robinson wrote a book called The Total Church Life, and basically it was a way for everybody to get involved in leading others to the Lord Jesus Christ and then getting them into the ministry of the church and so they could grow. And in that thing, he said one of the methods that he employed was Lewis Ensminger's Sunday school method. That is that you actually take a growing class and divide it, and it continues to grow. Because what will happen is it gets to 20 or 25 and say, well, that's enough for me, and then it doesn't grow. It becomes stagnant. And so everybody in the church was getting on with that except for one old lady, and she didn't want to give up her class, and she fought the pastor on that. I don't think you know what you're talking about and all that other kind of stuff. You know what that was? It was pride. That's all it was. And one day she had fought him and resisted, and he was gracious with her and all that kind of stuff, and it became a little bit of a humorous situation, but it tried him. And one day he went by there, and she had about half the class, and he stepped his head in there and said, what's going on? She said, Pastor, you were right. We've divided this class, and we're the something class, and there the other ones are across the hall over there. He looked in there, sure enough, there was half the class, and the thing began to grow. You know what she had to do in order to accomplish that? She had to humble herself. And that wasn't easy for her to do. And understand that. Sometimes humility can be a very difficult thing, but listen, you know what? She was a lot easier to get along when she humbled herself than when she resisted those kind of things by being proud. And listen, whenever you are humble before other people, they're always, and not false humility, not humble pie, not talking about that. Because what happens with a lot of that is you become great in your humility. And I tell you, there's some verses in the New Testament regarding that where people humble themselves and they do it in such a way to make themselves look great. It's kind of like the Pharisees when they fasted. They made sure not to wash their face and not to anoint themselves so it would be known that they were fasting and that thing looked humble. And instead, the Lord smoked them out and said, that's pride, man. People, we're always a lot easier to get along with when we're interested in what I can do to help you rather than what I want you to do for me. And so, you know, people, we read in the Bible about harmony in the church and about peace with each other and about charity and the bond of perfectness. It really revolves around your humility. It really does. And I can remember, you know, it's just, you may not realize this that's in your head and your heart that you might be more proud than you should be, but sometimes listen to the things that you say and sometimes consider your attitude. An American piano student one time was in Bonn and she went to the museum where Beethoven's piano was, where he composed a lot of his music. And while she was there, the guard that was guarding the piano seemed to be a little bit vulnerable. And she said, is there any way that I can play that piano? And tipped him handsomely to be able to do it. And he let her do it. She went over there and she played a little bit of some of Beethoven's music like that. And then when she slipped back by him, listen to what came out of her mouth, whether she intended it to be this way or not. She said, I imagine that all the great pianists of the world like to play on that piano. And he said, well, Paderewski was here. He was the great Polish composer a couple of years ago. And he said about the opportunity to play on that piano, he said, I am not worthy to touch it. Not worthy to touch it. Sometimes we don't realize that. So listen to what comes out of your heart, in your mind, what comes out of your heart, in the things that you say. Are you really? as great a Christian as sometimes you are led to believe that you are? Or is there room for improvement? And any time you know that there's room for improvement, you might want to back off when you consider that, hey, I'm doing a whole lot better than old so-and-so. You may not understand the circumstances old so-and-so is experiencing. And like they said when we went to school, they said, if you're a C student, you do a C plus, and you're an A student, you do an A minus. The guy making the C plus is doing better than you are, because he's doing more than he's capable of doing. You're doing less than you're capable of doing. You may be 2 grade points ahead of him, but you don't have any reason to be proud of your efforts. The greatest way to get along with other Christians is through humility. But notice something else in the text. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The greatest way for you to access the gift of God's grace is through humility. Listen, you and I need God's grace, and we need it steadily. Your vehicles out there that are parked in that parking lot run on gasoline most of the time when they're working like they're supposed to. Or diesel, if you're Ryan or Tony or one of those. You can always tell when those guys are showing up here. Clang, 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 clang. If I hear that about 10 after 4 in the afternoon, Ryan's here. And they run on fuel. You know something? If they don't have fuel in them, they don't run. They may be spick and span and waxed to a beautiful shine, brand new tires and armor all to make them shiny black, and could have a perfectly clean engine and perfectly clean interior, all that stuff. They don't have fuel in the tank. They are not going to run. As a Christian, you might be squeaky clean. You might be really, really doing well with Christ. If you don't have the grace of God, you're not going to run. That's what you run on. And the way to access fuel for your tank is to go down there to the Valero station or wherever you shop and buy your fuel, Shell or Texaco or whatever there is, and you buy that gas and put it in the tank. And the way you get the grace of God is you humble yourself before the Lord. And then you get the grace of God. And so he says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And we don't do well with that, without that grace. You've got to have grace, because when you start being used of God and somebody gets saved, you might have a tendency to believe it was you that did it. Oh, I went to the class. I've got the certificate. I know how to do this job. I'm proficient in leading souls to Christ. You're never proficient at leading souls to Christ. It's God that does that work. You're just the messenger. Corrie Ten Boom wrote a book, and she wrote about a fellow that she met, a guy named Sadhu Sundar Singh. He is a sadhu. His name was Sundar Singh. When he got to Europe, he had completed his world tour, and she asked him, doesn't it harm you to get so much honor? And he said, no. He said, the donkey that carried Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, they laid their garments down in front of that donkey, but they weren't laying their garments down in front of that donkey because of that donkey. They were laying down their garments in front of that donkey because he was being ridden by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people attempt to honor me for the work that God has allowed me to do, I know it's not me. It's the Lord that does this work. You know what that was? That was a man that was humble, dependent upon the grace of God, and successful because of the grace of God. Listen, we have to be careful about those things. George Washington Carver is famous for all the stuff he did scientifically with the peanut. You know, peanut oil and peanut butter and all. There's 300 and some odd things that George Washington Carver was able to discover about what you could do with a peanut. And that has been very important, particularly for a lot of people who, on limited budgets and so forth, need the nutrition they can get from that and couldn't afford to do much else. You know how he started out with the Lord? George Washington Carver one time said to God in prayer, he said, God, I want you to show me the mysteries of the universe. And he said, the Lord, however he impressed upon his heart, said to him, George, that's too big for you. And so George Washington Carver said to the Lord, then why don't you show me the mystery of the peanut. He said, now the peanut is about right there for your size. And he showed him the mystery of that peanut, and God gave him something that has been very, very valuable ever since he discovered those things. Listen, if you know God, you're going to be humble. And if you really know yourself, you cannot be proud. Not if you know what you're really made of, and not if you really understand yourself. See, we have to recognize that we want the grace of God. We need the grace of God. Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. And I believe that. You know how I know that? I've tried to do something without him. It didn't work. And when humility is the access that we need to God and his grace, then you want to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves before the Lord. You've got to come in there and grovel to him. That's fine. Just say, Lord, I am not going to do this well if I don't have your grace. You know where you get in trouble when you try to fight sin in your life? When you try to fight it on your own? You know where you get in trouble when you try to plan your own life and calculate out faith in your life? When you try to do all that on your own without the grace of God? So how are we going to survive as a church? By the grace of God. How are we going to have anything to preach come Wednesday night? By the grace of God. How are we going to lead a soul to Jesus Christ? By the grace of God. How are we going to get them mold over? By the grace of God. How are we going to teach that Sunday school class next week? By the grace of God. How are we going to sing that special to the glory of God? By the grace of God. How are we going to play that piano? By the grace of God. How am I going to just survive tomorrow in the work that I have to do? By the grace of God. How's my marriage going to work? By the grace of God. How are we going to raise these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? By the grace of God. How are we going to be able to give what God wants us to give? By the grace of God. How are we going to live another day? By the grace of God. And that, I'll tell you what, that you access that grace of God in humility. Get down and stay down. I'll tell you something else that we see in the text here. Not only is humility the greatest way for Christians to get along with each other, and humility the greatest way for you to access the gift of the grace of God, but notice, read on down with me a little bit. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know something? You have an adversary. And the greatest way for you to stay out of the devil's reach is to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humility is the greatest way for you to stay out of the devil's reach. Listen, you may think, well, I'm not doing much for the Lord. And I've heard preachers say, and I've even said it myself, not in a while, but I've said it myself. Preachers have said many times, I don't even believe the devil knows my name. And what they're saying is, I'm such a pipsqueak in the kingdom of God, and the work that I do is so minuscule compared to the great work that other people have done. The devil doesn't know me. If he needs to get me, all he has to do is send one of his minions. That's what he's saying. But may I tell you something? The devil knows you. And that's not to lift you up in pride. If you have a job to do for the Lord God, it is the devil's intent to keep you from doing that job. When Peter had that great job to do in Acts chapter 2, I believe the devil knew that. And so he decided he was going to try to knock Peter out of the ministry right before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord said, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. And the devil got him. But rather than get bitter, Peter humbled himself and began to weep about his denial. And when the Lord saw him after his resurrection, he came to him and said, you love me? And Peter told him the truth. I do love you, Lord. He said, all right, then feed my sheep. And he got to do that and preach that great sermon in Acts chapter 2 where 3,000 souls were added to the church that day, and then souls were added to the church every day from then on, and he became known as the apostle to the circumcision. That's a great thing. You say, but he was such a, he was messed up so badly. You know something? That was a very important part of his humbling. Paul was the ministry, the apostle to the uncircumcision. Paul was killing Christians before he ever got saved. You know something? I think it really affected him. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and kill a few people before you be affected. I'm not. Or deny the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil does know the very area of your weakness. And if you are functioning well in this church, and this church is functioning well, and you're functioning well in your family and in the body of Christ, he's going to try to mess you up. And he knows what it's going to take to get you. It could be something one day that I say just a certain way from the pulpit. You think, I don't think that's appropriate for a preacher to say that. Out the door you go. It could be your emotional capacity. You may have mood swings from time to time, and he may get you in a low and keep you in the low. It could be your incapacity to control your lust and appetite. He might get away with you there. It might be that you've got an anger streak in you, and one day he just catches you in the wrong moment. You explode and say something and bless God like I did to Taco Bell years ago. We went to Taco Bell, and I won't even go through the whole story with you. But it was a mess from the beginning that day. And I told my children on the way out of that store, I will never go to Taco Bell again in my life if Taco Bell is the last restaurant on earth serving Christian preachers. I'll die before I'll go in there and eat. And I hadn't been back, ever. I've been true to my word. And you know, sometimes a man will get mad in a church and he'll say, bless God, I'll never set foot in a Baptist church again in my life. And boy, he got caught right there. And then bless God, 15 years and I hadn't set foot in one, and not planning on it now. You know what he did? He just shot himself in the foot. But we're that way. You may have an angry streak and a stubbornness to you, and you say, I'm not going to do that. I'll never. Better watch out. That may be the day that the devil comes knocking on your door. You could have a weakness with things that you deal with on the internet. You could have a weakness with things that you see on a television. You could have a weakness with money. Brother Dick was a good friend of mine. He's passed away and gone on to be with the Lord. And he said to me one day, he said, you know something? You know why God never gave me much money? Because he knew it'd ruin me. That's what he said. He knew I couldn't handle it, and it would probably affect me in the ministry. And so he never let me have any. And he didn't say it disappointingly. He was thankful that the devil never had a chance to load him up with a few bucks and ruin him. There are all kinds of things that can happen to you that the devil can take advantage of at just precisely the right time. And then you're in his reach. And you know that Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, that devil can take you captive at his own will when you don't acknowledge that truth. And he says that a man would have to repent if God peradventure would give him repentance under the acknowledging of the truth. That thing, I tell you what, man, you do not want to get into a battle or an arm wrestling match with the devil. Some people say, they'll pray and they'll say, devil do this, devil do that. I tell you what, why don't you follow what Michael the archangel did? He wouldn't even talk to him. He just said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's all you need to say. Jude 9 is enough. The Lord rebuked thee, and you go on about your way. Listen, when Brother Gipp was here and he preached on temptation and he said, lead us not into temptation, he was right about that. You want the Lord to protect you through all that, and the way to make sure that the Lord continues to protect you in that is to stay humble. Be like that little kid that's got to hold on to the pant leg of the Lord and let him lead you around. And don't you ever get any aspirations about just how big you are and how important you are to the Lord. Alex Haley wrote that book, Roots. Remember that? And it turned that thing into a movie, and that made Alex Haley pretty famous. And so somebody came to visit him one day in his office to see him and that kind of thing. He said, doesn't that ever go to your head that you succeed when you wrote that book and wrote, and then that thing was turned into a screenplay? Doesn't that ever go to your head? And he showed him a picture up there on the wall. And that picture on the wall in Alex Haley's office is a turtle on top of a fence post. And he says, what do you keep that up there for? He says, to remind me, that turtle couldn't have gotten on top of that fence post without some help. And I didn't write that book without some help. And it kept him humble. That's what keeps you from getting messed up, you see. And knocked out by the devil. Now, years ago, There was a fellow, his name was Professor Blackie. And he taught in the University of Edinburgh, and what he was teaching is he was teaching men oratory skills. Today, you guys are blessed. You get to hear preachers from all kinds of places, and some have oratory skills and some don't. Every once in a while, you're listening on the radio, and you hear John Hagee, and you say, man, that guy can preach. One of the things you like about him when you hear him is his oratory skills. The guy has a fabulous voice, and he knows how to use it, and he knows how to put words together. You listen sometimes to the recordings of somebody like Adrian Rogers. I like to listen. He's easy to listen to. He's easy to follow. You know what you like about him? He has good oratory skills, and he organizes his thoughts very well and presents them very clearly. All right, now, you know something? So this they used to teach that so that people would be able to speak well. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was known as the prince of the pulpit, and he called the pulpit the sacred desk. And he treated that with a great deal of care and practiced a great deal at his work. So Professor Blackie was teaching these guys oratory skills. Not all of them were going to become preachers. Some were going to become politicians and various other kinds of things, but they had to know how to speak well. And he told them whenever they were coming up to the platform to speak that they were to put their lecture in their right hand and carry it just so and then bring it up and present it, because everything, including their deportment, had a lot to do with their ability to capture the attention of the audience. So one of his students was ascending up to the platform, and he was carrying his lecture in his left hand. And Professor Blackie in the back of the room shouted out to him, "Put the book in your right hand and sit down!" And the guy raised his hand. He didn't have a right hand. Been cut off. Professor Blackie didn't know it. That guy's standing there. Everybody's uneasy in his seat. He's back there, hesitant, not knowing exactly what to do. Professor Blackie humbled himself, got up, walked to the front in front of all those students he was training. With tears in his eyes, he begged that young man to forgive him and ask him to stand up and give that oration. Now, years later, there was somebody that was speaking at a large conference and recounted that illustration, had been in that class. And at the end of his speech, a fellow came to the front and raised his hand up, and he didn't have a right hand. He said, "I'm that student." And you know what he said? He said, "Professor Blackie not only made it right with me that day, but he led me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to tell you, he could have never done that unless he had righted the wrong. Well, the devil could have had a victory on that one. Greatest way to stay out of the reach of the devil is to humble yourself. Humble yourself. D.L. Moody used to say this, "Be humble or stumble." Hudson Taylor, let's read the next one and then I'll tell you what Hudson said. In verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." If you've been counting, you know this is number 4, and I told you there'd be 4 things. The greatest way for Christians to get along with each other, humble yourself. Humility is the greatest way for you to access the gift of God's grace. Humility is the greatest way for you to stay out of the devil's reach. And humility is the greatest way for you to be exalted in due time. Listen, God knows that you are his child, and just the same way that any father has a child and he's proud of that child and wants that child to be recognized and do the very best that he can, God wants the same for you. But now's not the time. Now is the time for humility, and in due time at the judgment seat of Christ, then God, who's been given the opportunity through your humility to use you in such a way to bring himself glory, can say, "And now I would like to give you your due recognition, and now I would like to give you your crown that goes for those things you've done." The greatest way to get that is for you, and for you to be exalted in due time, is to humble yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You may be the best Sunday school teacher in this church. Nobody else ought to know that but God. We say, Brother Riggs was preaching here during the missions conference, and I loved what he said. "That's my Savior, and this is my church, and this is my Bible, and you're my pastor." And you have that owner. But you know something? It's your Sunday school class, and you ought to have that kind of interest in it, but not for your recognition. It's your Sunday school class for the recognition of God Almighty. It's not my pulpit here. It's not my church, and you're not my people in the sense of my personal recognition. You're mine in the sense that all things are ours, and that you get the greatest care and the greatest portion of my heart because we have that connection with each other. But we're in here for the glory of God, not for ourselves. And we're to humble ourselves before the Lord, because if there is ever going to be a time of exaltation, it will be at the Lord's discretion, and it will be according to the Lord's time. And now, about Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was the very well-known missionary in China. And he came home to speak at a missions conference. And when he did, the people by this time knew of his great reputation. And truly, truly, he was a very great man, even in his own time. And so the person that got up to introduce him said, "And we are so blessed to have in our midst today Hudson Taylor, who's been such a successful missionary in the fields of China. What a great man. What a marvelous person. He is an illustrious missionary. Let us all welcome J. Hudson Taylor." Now, he was probably deserving of that kind of introduction. He came up to the platform and he didn't say anything for a couple of minutes. And then he said this, "I'm just a little servant serving an illustrious master." That's the place to do it. You know what Paul the Apostle said? We always say, Paul the Apostle, he was the greatest Christian that ever lived. That's not what he said. He said, "I'm the least of the apostles." He said, "I am the least of all saints." He said, "I am the chiefest of sinners." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't say he was chief. He said, "I am chief." He never lost that humility before God. He knew, "I got to stay down." Paul said, "Because of the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, God gave me a thorn in the flesh," and he knew what it was for, to bring him infirmity and keep him down. And he said, "That's why I glory in my infirmities and necessities and persecutions and reproaches and distresses, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong." And if he ever strengthened himself in his own pride, he would have been worthless. But as staying weak and staying under the grace of God, listen, he will be exalted in due time. Charles Wesley and George Whitefield were both very great men in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were contemporaries, but theologically they didn't completely agree. And so there was a little bit of contention there between them about some of the things they believed concerning the Bible. But God was using both of these men greatly. Listen, George Whitefield had such a powerful voice before God that one time he preached, I think it was up in the state of New York, stood up on a monument to begin to preach at noontime when a lot of businessmen came out to hear him. Listen, the offices emptied and the homes emptied. There were 10,000 people standing in the rain at noon, and his voice was powerful enough without a PA to be heard by every single one of them, and they stayed to hear him preach. Now, don't you know that could go to your head? So they asked George Whitefield one day, because of their theological differences, "Do you really suppose that we'll see Charles Wesley in heaven?" In other words, the man was implying that Wesley was probably lost. And Whitefield said, "We probably won't see him in heaven. And that's not because he won't be there. It'll be because he's so close to the Savior and we're so pitifully far away, we'll probably never get a glimpse of the man when he's there." See, that's a man that had the right perspective. If honor is going to be due, let it be due to my brother, even though we have some contention, because I believe he's a holier man than I am. Humility. Humility. Folks, it's the very thing that will save us in this time. Winston Churchill was speaking, and every time he spoke in this particular hall, the place was packed to over capacity. And one day, one of his aides came to him and said to Winston Churchill, he said, "Isn't it flattering that you can speak in this hall and it's filled to overflowing?" He said, Not really, because I'm reminded that if I were coming in here not to speak, but rather to be hanged, it would probably be twice as full as it is. There is a time for exaltation, and the time is not in your lifetime. The time is in God's time, in a time when you have a glorified body, when your heart is changed, and you have an opportunity to be able to stand it. What do we learn tonight? Humility, so very, very important, is the greatest way for us to get along with each other. Humility is the greatest way for you and I to access the gift of the grace of God. Humility is the greatest way for you to stay out of the reach of the devil. And humility is the greatest way for you to be exalted in due time. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight to hear from the words of God. We are thankful to see what it is that you have in the Scripture for us. What a fabulous and marvelous passage 1 Peter chapter 5 is. May it be constantly on our minds and in our hearts and on our lips. Father, teach us to be better servants. Father, we humble ourselves before you today, and our desire is not to be lifted up, but to stay down. But as we see these important factors that are dependent upon that. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I know it's Sunday night and oftentimes we teach, but maybe the Lord's spoken to you tonight. It's time for you to get something straight in your heart. It may not even be about this. It may be something totally different. The Lord, when He enjoys great liberty, speaks to you so many different ways. We're going to sing an invitation hymn in just a minute. You can make your way to the altar and pray. Pray right there in your seat. Just whatever works best between you and the Lord God. Just make sure. Take heed to the Scripture. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and Bobby's making his way here and Darby to the piano, let's remember these things we've heard tonight. Now, Father, we pray that during this invitation you will have great liberty to work with us. We don't know which one of us might be set up to be sifted as wheat like Peter was. We understand, though, that dropping to our knees and humbling ourselves now, the shot will go right over us. The fiery dart of the wicked won't hit the shield. It'll go over our heads because it'll be too low to be hit. We pray, Father, that you'll help us as we live by these words, and we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.